We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the game on this Tuesday. We know the issues that the Atlanta Falcons are having. Suddenly, barely 48 hours from, you know, from 60 hours away. Falcons are going to be playing again on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's going down. And there ain't no time to be crying over spilled milk now. You got to get ready to go.
Yeah, can they get to Teddy Bridgewater? Can they put any pressure on the quarterback? Because so far this year, they haven't been able to do that. 10 sacks this season total in 7 games, one of which came in the very first play of the year, and that was Tack's 1 sack this season. So what's going on with the pass rush that is non-existent, that is leading to a pass defense that is the worst in the NFL, 32nd and last? We thought we would turn to the man who knows more about the pass rush than anybody around, and then, of course, Falcons great, Tennessee great, Chuck Smith, the doctor of all this pass rush stuff,
Rush.
And he joins us this morning on the waitfor.com hotline. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing, Hugh?
What's going on, Dr. Rush, man? I got to, full disclosure, John, I got to tell you that sometimes during the course of the week, you know, during on Sunday, you know, Chuck will hit me up and he'll send me some text messages, some intricate text messages about the pass rush and what's going on and what's not going on. And I had the pleasure one time sitting in on one of his pass rush clinics and just listening to some of these young pass rushers, you know, talk about the game, man. So, you know, just trying to keep me abreast of the game. But, Chuck, straight out the gate, man, what's going on with Dante Fowler, man? Why is he not showing up on the stat sheet like we need him to?
To me, it starts with, as I'm watching him, pass rush confidence, Hugh. I watch him and the moves that he once used, like the cross chop and things like the ghost move, now he goes and it's almost like he just goes and doesn't know exactly what he's going to do, and he's kind of flopping around, falling it on the ground. You know, he's in between a spin, in between a long arm. I think it seems like he's not confident in using the moves that helped him become successful, and that was a cross chop. Because if you watch him, he's kind of like just all over the place, you know, and that just shows me right now he's not confident in what he's doing.
Chuck Smith joining us on the waveport.com hotline, reaching out to talk to Dr. Rush here about the Falcons' lack of pass rush here, because it doesn't seem that right now that they can get home. They got a couple of blitzes, you know, with Keanu Neal and Debo to get to the quarterback against in the last game, you know. But I don't know that you can get home, you know. Matt Stafford's not the most mobile guy in the world, and if you can't get home with four guys on him, and it's not even that, Chuck, they're not even putting pressure on these guys.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of alarming, particularly when you have spent quite, you know, pretty much the last decade thirsting for a guy that can do it. And there are guys up there, but I just think, you know, when you look at the game, I mean, let's look at the last play of the game was the microcosm of the entire game. On that rush, when Stafford throws a touchdown, Dante Fowler has a good bull rush, perfect. You know, Grady Jarrett's caught in the double team. Nothing Grady can do. So Dante and Grady are where they need to be. Then you look on the other side, Tack McKinley throws a bull rush, then runs himself upfield. That's technique. That's also having that's FBI, football intelligence. Tack bull rushes and gets pushed all the way upfield, and Steven Means is playing in the inside, and he has no idea what he's doing. He's moving around, creates a lane for Matthew Stafford, so it's just a microcosm of the entire team, John. When a couple guys are doing good, you know, a couple other guys are letting them down. So that's kind of how it's been going. And that's in that, on that last play, when Stafford scores on that last play, that should have been a sack. Easy if the four guys just do what basic pass rushers are taught to do and not let the quarter not run by the quarterback.
Yeah, that's the thing that got me, Chuck, because you know we've both been in situations like that. You know, money downs,
yeah.
Last couple plays of the game. You know, being in the huddle, the first thing that you're saying to yourself is somebody got to make a play. Like somebody got to step up and make a play. But with that being said, Chuck, do they need to blitz more since they don't have that much pass rush?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you got to get more creative with creative looks. Start sending, you know, five, sometimes six, and playing zone in the back end. Because, you know, the guys in the back end also need protection. You know, they can't cover but so long. I think you got to start sending pressures. And a good example was last night. You watched the Rams on Monday Night Football, some really creative, exotic looks they had that were helping not only get Aaron Donald set up free, which can help him with Grady because Grady's ours double team, but also put in pressures that also feature getting Grady some freedom. But also, as we've seen, Deion Jones is a fast missile type of guy. That'd be a great blitzer. So I think you're right, Hugh. I think that's what they should do and add more pressures in.
Yeah, we were talking with Chuck Smith about the lack of pass rush, leading out to the leading expert in the nation in pass rush, and talking about the Falcons and their inability to get to the quarterback. Because of this, I looked something up last night that the, you know, Chuck, you know, you may obviously probably know this, but Hugh, I didn't know this, so, and maybe you do too. There's an assumption, Chuck and Hugh, that if you blitz a lot, that means your defense is not really very good and you have to rely on the blitz and whatnot. Well, let me put it to you this way. The blitz percentage, the times you blitz in the NFL, okay? The Falcons are in the middle of the pack through seven games this year as far as how many times they blitz. You know the three leading blitzing teams are? Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Tampa. Those three defenses are pretty good. So
yeah,
maybe
they light you up, though.
Yeah, we should. Chuck, grits blitz was something back in the day, in my day. Why wouldn't we adopt that kind of an attitude?
Well, I just think because, you know, I think initially because you got a young secondary and a new secondary. I think that has a lot to do with it. But I'm going to tell you why, John. It's hard to go from a foundation. We are a four-man front. Put your ears back. That's who we are. So this personnel was built initially to be what? Four-man, you know, all gas, no brakes. So we're just trying to guess and trying to figure it out because we see they haven't been able to figure it out. But this is a four-man front. This team isn't built to, you know, in those teams you're talking about, they got Bud Dupree. They got T.J. Watt. They got Yannick now in Baltimore. I mean, they got guys that they're a base 3-4. Now, one of the biggest problems that the Falcons created for themselves last year, guys, when they brought in 3-4 pieces. So we're a four. This is a Dan Quinn's defense is a 4-3. But now they brought in some of the Allen Baileys and some of these other guys. Are they 3-4 guys? Is Tack going to be a DN? Is he stand up? Man, there's so many issues right now on the D-line. There's no identity. So, it's really hard to say what they can be because they right now are caught up in a different world of multiple positions and multiple defenses that there's no identity on the defensive line.
We're talking with Chuck Smith, the Dr. Rush, a guy that knows more about it than anything else. You're right, Chuck, and we're seeing this here. Marlon Davidson, of course, was on the COVID list. He was injured early in the season. We haven't had much of a chance to see what kind of an impact he could potentially have on this team. And hopefully he does moving forward. But, you know, I'm just kind of broadly here. Is it you talk about Dan Quinn's defense. Is it scheme? Is it coaching? Is it teaching? Is it talent? Is it everything that has led to a lack of this production?
I think the whole issue to me in this era has been teaching. Let me just say this. So I can elaborate. It has to do with teaching. It also has to do with scheme. And it also has to do with the players. They all three come make this a challenging era for pass rush because this. Number one, the coach has to be held accountable. And I'm not necessarily just talking about the head coach. I'm talking about the defensive line coach. That's just how it goes. You're responsible for the guys in your room. And stability hasn't been one of the big things that they've had. They've had, I think, four or five D-line coaches since, in this era. I think coordinator, that's also a challenge. But I also think scheme, I mean, let's be honest. I'm watching Tack McKinley stands up. Him and Vic, were they 3-4 in, you know, 3-4, 4-3. So there were some scheme challenges. Mm-hmm. But also putting the onus on the players. Everybody, Hugh, knows that their moves are out there. It's just a matter of the players are smart enough to use them. Grady Jarrett started using moves. Now Grady Jarrett's one of the best interior guys in the NFL, and the rest of the guys need to follow suit because ain't nothing worse. I've been that Grady Jarrett guy on the Atlanta Falcons for years, Hugh. Nothing worse than being a good player with a gang of dudes around you that ain't got no dog in them.
Yeah, and so Chuck, I gotta ask you. We're in it now. We're in the season. What mm-hmm. do you think would be the quickest fix that you could have for this D line to get this pass rush going? Like say next week. Say I mean you know you because we're not gonna mm-hmm. blitz. We're not gonna do a whole lot of blitzing. I don't think that's schematically what we're gonna do. But just as a four man front. What are some of the things that you could do up front to help fix this real quick?
One of the first things I would start doing is giving Charles Harris some more reps, kid out of Missouri, number 92, who's been their best edge guy when he's gotten in the game. I would, number one, that's the first thing I would do. Number two, I would stop going in a split look, Hugh, in the wide threes where you got three techniques. You got Grady, and I want to say I'm not sure the other D-tackle is. Mm-hmm. They're lined up so wide where it makes them one-dimensional. They've been doing that for years. The split look does not work for the Falcons because they only got one primetime rusher inside, and they don't run four-man games great. So mm-hmm. there's some limitations there. It's the front. It's the defensive front that's killing them with sacks. If they would just change that, it would help them, number one. So, and number two, I would sit down with Dante Fowler and say, Dante, get tighter. You're way too wide in your pass rush. You're 8 foot wide, Dante. You're so wide it's going to take you 20 seconds to get there. I would bring him in closer, tell him the rules are you are 2 yards wide outside the tackle, and mm-hmm. I would say use your long arm and your cross chop. And every time he comes to the sideline, somebody needs to remind him of that. And out and also next on this one, I would stop putting Grady at defensive end, but I would start also bringing linebackers down sometime in the gaps, Deion Jones and some of those guys, and face up on the offensive linemen so they won't be able to double and know if they're coming or not and disguise pressure, and then that'll help Grady get off the double teams, man. So there are some things that they can do, add in there. And then I would tell Comiskey and what's the other guy? Steven Means, mm-hmm. stop bull rushing. You are to use a side scissors, and if you don't use these swipes, you're coming out the game. Look, this is the new era. On the sideline, there needs to be someone responsible for telling these guys every time what moves to use. Because when you don't have a culture of pass rush, everybody's looking at each other. So somebody has to kind of take the lead. Those are the changes I would make right now. And I think I can tell you right now, they would get stacks.
Well, we trust you, Chuck, because that's why we have you on, because you are the man when it comes to sacks.
No, so, Chuck be breaking. Yeah. Chuck be taking it to the lab. Chuck be telling me stuff that I ain't even see during the course of the game. So, yeah, Chuck be taking it to the lab now.
Well, we always appreciate your being a part of it, Chuck. Thanks very much for giving us your expertise this morning.
Hey, thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, Dr. Rush.
Chuck Smith joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. All right, Sports Radio 99 The Game, giving you a chance to win a new Nest Audio from Google.
Now, it's time for the Google Nest code word. The code word is
Dance, D-A-N-C-E, to 51539 for a chance to win. Get the latest sports news from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with a little help from Google. You just say, hey, Google, play 92.9 The Game. Your next chance to win just after noon with Andy and Randy. Text Dance, D-A-N-C-E, Dance, to 51539. Message and data rates may apply. Dance to 51539. We'll dance with the NFL. A couple of things. Big changes in Dallas, I think, are coming. We'll talk about that next. As we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game, worldwide at radio.com.
Shotgun snap to Goff. Back to throw. It's left. It's complete. Gerald Everett shakes a tackle. Middle of the field. He goes in. Touchdown, Gerald Everett. Touchdown, L.A. With 1:34 to go in the third, the Rams have blown it open.
There's not a whole lot to say in that locker room other than in these situations, we got to be able to show what type of resolve we have to bounce back from something like this. I thought that, you know, I don't know all the stats, all the numbers in the three phases, but I just felt like we knew defensively there was going to be times that they got chunks on us on with their offense, but we were going to, you know, bend and not break. I thought our defense, for the most part, did that. Obviously, stating the obvious, the offense, we got to get stuff figured out. It's not good enough to be outscored by your defense. Obviously, is unacceptable too. So,
yep, it is. If you're a Bears fan, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Last night, the LA Rams beat the Bears 24-10. The Bears have enough defense. We know that their offense apparently was only good for like 1.5 quarters this season, and of course that was 1.5 quarters against the Atlanta Falcons. That's it. It was about the only time they were good all year. Yeah,
that was a new quarterback too.
Yeah,
new QB.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the only time this year their offense has been efficient. And outside of that, not so much. It wasn't last night. Their defense scored. Their offense really didn't. And so the Bears lose as a result. The Rams are very much in contention. The NFC West is really amazing, Hugh, because you'll have a big showdown this week with San Francisco and Seattle. But you have San Francisco now at 4-3 and in last place in that division. At 4-3 in last.
Yeah, it's crazy, ain't it? It's crazy how San Francisco was looked at as a team that was dead in the water. And, you know, in that division right now, it's just the NFL is real weird this year, John Fricke. No question about that. Real weird.
It is real weird. Falcons get ready for a Thursday night game against the Carolina Panthers. Just to update you, Christian McCaffrey has been seen back at practice, but is considered a long shot for Thursday. Of course, they didn't so much miss him in the first game. They managed to win that game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Carolina coming in thinking that, you know, they got a chance to bounce back after a kind of a heartbreaking loss last week on Sunday to the Saints. But we'll keep our eyes on that, and we'll get more into the discussion about the Falcons' next game against Carolina coming up later on today and more into tomorrow and Thursday ahead of kickoff on Thursday night on Sports Radio 92 and the game. But I think really kind of the big story right now, Hugh, as we are a week away from the trade deadline, is what's going to happen. Are you going to be a buyer? Are you going to be a seller? If you're in the NFL, Julio Jones has come out and said, I don't want to leave Atlanta. And I don't see, for all the discussion here, Hugh, I don't see the Falcons making any moves with Matt Ryan or Julio Jones. I think they'll take phone calls, but I think Rich McKay is going to be very cautious about who he wants to move here and trying to acquire draft picks, if for no other reason than he can't know what the new coach or the new general manager is going to want to do.
Well, you don't make any moves when you don't really have to, I would assume, you know, and like, you know, as much as we speculated, you know, they don't have to make moves, John. They don't have to trade them right now, you know, and they might want to save those pieces for the next coach. But I think the consensus is that when the next coach comes in here, it's probably a good chance that, you know, those guys won't be here. I mean, I think that is safe to say that, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at, because you're talking about coming in with a new philosophy and probably new players or whatnot. So you're going to come in and you want to bring your own guys in. So that's why that has been floated around and bounced around quite a bit. But, yeah, you're right. The new guy might come in and he might say, hey, you know what, there's something here I can work with. I don't see that happening, though, you know, especially when you talk about some of the potential head coaches' names that are being thrown around to be here. I just don't see that being the case. I really don't.
Well, this week is going to be interesting. Some really big games in the NFL as we get to the midway point of the year. I mentioned San Francisco, Seattle, New Orleans. The Swampers are in Chicago against the Bears. Will the Bears make a move for a quarterback? There's a lot of discussion in Chicago this morning on the sports talk about that. You're going to have, the LA Rams are going to go to Miami. That'll be the debut of Tua Tagovailoa against Aaron Donald. That's a hell of a way to start if you're Tua, right?
Bring forth the sacrificial lamb. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we might want to block that Donald guy just to keep Tua, you know, on his feet.
Grown-ass man. Be like, that Aaron Donald grown-ass man. Yeah.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh's peace be with you. Yeah,
Pittsburgh's the only unbeaten team, and they're at Baltimore in a battle for supremacy in that AFC North. So we'll see how that one goes out with Ben Roethlisberger against Lamar Jackson. That's a really good game. And then there's the battle for supremacy in the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys go to Philadelphia.
You know what, John? I'm a little salty about you talking about my division, but it ain't really too much I can say right about now.
Well, am I wrong? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, the truth hurt. The truth is hurting right now, but yeah.
Well, I mean, we Abe and I were tweeting back, texting back and forth, and I said, you know, look at the Niners, and you know they're 4-3 and in last place. The team that finishes last in the NFC West could be 8-8 and finish last as a 500 team, and the champion in the East could be 6-9-1.
Yeah, and hosting a game, hosting a game.
Right.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. But the big question now for this week, because I expect that, you know, the NFL trade deadline is usually fairly quiet, but there's so many sellers out there right now, so many teams looking to dump players because they want to acquire draft picks, that there might be some interesting moves this week. For example, yesterday the Dallas Cowboys raised their hand and said, we are absolutely sellers, which surprises me just a little bit, Hugh, only just a little bit, because they're a half game out of first. If they beat Philadelphia, they're back in first place, but they say they're going to be sellers at this point, which says to me that they think that even if they win the division, they're not doing anything in the playoffs.
Cowboys in a bad spot, John, when it comes to that, excuse me. They're in a real bad spot.
Everson Griffin is apparently on the trading block. And if you want to pick up a pass rusher down the stretch here, and if you're a team that needs a little bit of defense to help out and bolster, you know, I mean, if you're, you know, team that, you know, because there are teams out here that are kind of defense-based. I'm not saying they're defense-heavy, but defense-based, teams like Baltimore, for example. You see what, you know, they go out and make a defensive move and get Ngakoue to come in there. Another team that's defensive-based, of course, the Bears or somebody like that, the Niners, even the Rams. I mean, if Aaron Donald wants somebody to run with him, I mean, so I could see somebody making a move for Everson Griffin. There's that part of it. The other part of it is, at quarterback for the Cowboys, they're not going to go out and get another. Jerry Jones says we're not. They're going to start Ben DiNucci against Philadelphia, Hugh.
Ben DiNucci, he gets a shot. Bring forth the sacrificial lamb. I mean, what are you going to do, John? I mean, you have – there's nothing out there, really. You know, and then you're talking about – they still have to figure out what they're going to do with Dak. As far as – you know, I know Dak's hurt, and, you know, nothing's owed to Dak. I know that. But they still have to figure out how they're going to handle that, you know. And I know that Dak is not in a real strong position of negotiating when it comes to that, when it comes to anything. But that's still a conversation that needs to be had.
Is there really nothing out there? I mean, you have the guys that could be available to anybody that wants to pick up the phone include Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor. I mean, they're all available. There are others. I mean,
you're talking about guys on another team, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to make a trade in the next week.
Okay, but you're not operating from a position of power, so you're going to get fleeced. Mm-hmm. That's probably why they said what they said, because you're not operating from a position of power. You're going to get got. If you trade for one of those guys, because you're being desperate at this point, in my opinion, and everybody's looking at you, knowing that, you know, there's desperation that's starting to set in. So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna head crack you. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and ask you for a king's ransom, because I know right now you're not in a position not to refuse me. If you go out there and you put it out there in the atmosphere like that, John, that lets me know you're in a bad spot.
Well, they are in a bad spot. I mean, they're starting Ben DiNucci at quarterback.
Ben DiNucci might be that dude.
He might be.
And the thing about it is this too, John. Think about it. Think about this. As far as quarterbacks are concerned, I've always said, you give them two games. You give them two games to figure out what they are. And after that, then, you know they'll probably figure it out. But I give Ben DiNucci two wins. I give him two. Two wins on the season.
Look, I mean, Ben DiNucci, I mean, he may come out there and be – we may be sitting around here in 6 years going, man, the Nucci's got it going. I mean, we may.
I don't know about all that, John. See, you didn't took it way too far. But Ben DiNucci, he might be all right.
You just take it all the way there. Nah, he's the Nooch. I mean, you don't want to make a move. No, we got to go with the Nooch.
You know what? He might be the next Joe Montana. He might be the next Roger Staubach. No, yeah, John, maybe. We ain't about to do that. Hey, we'll take Coward, though. Yeah, we'll take Coward. We'll take Coward.
Coward wasn't a bad quarterback. You know,
you're my boy, DiNucci. You're my boy.
Next, Brian Hoyer. All right, there you go. And again, not a bad quarterback. I mean, Orton and Hoyer and Fitzpatrick, those are those kind of guys that will win you a few games, right? Will Ben DiNucci beat Philadelphia? Don't know. That much I cannot tell
you. Boy, if he beat Philadelphia, boy, that'd be bad.
There's a question of college football as we get to this busy week ahead, too, and we got to kind of start peeking around the corner to what's ahead for college football. One of the questions is who's number one? Do we really kind of know yet, or is it going to take some time, or is it? It's interesting because there are some people saying we think Ohio State might actually be the best team. Next, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Snap to Fields. Keeps it. Looks to throw. Now takes off running. 15 of Nebraska going wide to the left of the 10. Fields to the 5. Fields spins and gets to the end zone as he's turned away from defenders closing on him. And Justin Fields, a 17-yard touchdown run. His first rushing TD of the year.
I know that, boys. That's Paul Keels, my old buddy who's the play-by-play guy at Ohio State. And Ohio State did what it had to do against Nebraska to put itself back into position to win a national title by getting an impressive win in its first opening game at the Horseshoe. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Hugh, a lot of people watching that game, including me, looked at Ohio State and said, you know what, I think Ohio State might be more complete than Alabama, more complete than Clemson. I don't know that they're more complete than Georgia. That's the whole frustrating thing about Georgia and the quarterback situation. If Georgia had a quarterback, I think they might be actually more complete than Ohio State. I don't know, a quarterback like Justin Fields. Ohio State is the real deal here. And, you know, they are very much – again, nothing has really changed in college football, which is really interesting here. It's the one piece of stability in a non-stable year is that Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State are probably going to be in the playoff.
Yeah. I mean, that's the consensus. You know, Ohio State looked good. You know, they struggled early on, but they were able to get it together. And, you know, they put them thigh out. They put them things on Nebraska, and they were able to win. But, man, it's only one game. And, I mean, I tend not to try to get too excited over a small sampling size. But to your point, John, they look pretty good. They look really good.
All right, to that end here, that it's only one game, and that's a fair point here, is that this week the biggest game nationally by far this week is Ohio State and Penn State, and they were all set to have, you know, a top 10 battle in you know, because Penn State was supposed to beat Indiana, and of course they didn't. Now, if you didn't see the Penn State-Indiana game, or all you saw was the, you know, the dive by the Indiana quarterback Penix for the pylon, if that's all you saw, allow me, since I watched the whole thing from beginning to end, to tell you that Penn State may have lost the game, but Penn State is still very much a top 10 team, okay? Penn State was the better football team. They just lost the game. And that is a team that can be very dangerous in terms of being able to hang with Ohio State. So this will go along. If Ohio State can go on the road and win this game, Hugh, that'll tell me maybe they're the best team in the nation, because Alabama or Clemson would have a hard time going into Penn State and winning. I think anybody would, because I think Penn State might be the fifth or sixth best team in the nation. They're that good.
You're going to know Ohio State the best team in the nation after two games?
Maybe.
Okay. I know what to say, John. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, Nebraska is a nice up-and-coming team, but I think right now Alabama's probably, and Georgia probably, a little bit more battle-tested. You know?
Well, yeah, sure they are. They played a lot more games. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not there with you, but I respect it. I respect your opinion when it comes to that.
You know, Dabo there. Sweeney's out there saying, and rightfully so. I mean, Dabo should be very defensive, because after their win against Syracuse this week, you had a bunch of guys out there, reporters, going, "Why did you guys?" I mean, they beat Syracuse 47-21. Right, 47-21, and you had reporters going, "What's wrong with your team?"
I remember Dabo got a little bit. Yeah, he got in his feelings a little bit. So I'm like, "Hey, the last time I checked, we did win. I'm at the right." He asked him, "Was he at the right press conference?" I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, right. But at the right, we won by 26 points. You know, I mean, yeah, if Clemson doesn't win 73-7 like they did against Georgia Tech, people are going, "What's wrong with you? Why are you not no good?"
It's like, I mean, but that's the narrative. It's kind of, it's almost kind of in the same vein of like anointing Ohio State the number one team over one game. But I mean, hey, that's just me. That's just me. I'm just saying.
No. I said after this week. I'm not ready to vote. I would not vote Ohio State number one right now.
But after this week,
if they go to Penn State and win that game, especially if they win it in dramatic, I might say, okay, The reason I think they're the number one team is I think they're the best team. And that's what I want to see this week. Are they the best team in the nation? Because I think that, you know, Clemson has some flaws here that might be exposed a little bit in terms of, you know, they're young at certain spots. And then Alabama's defense still concerned. Look, Alabama's going to play Mississippi State this week. Everybody expects Alabama to roll. But here's the one but here. Remember how many yards Ole Miss put up on them? Mississippi State and KJ Costello, I think they're going to put up points and yards in Alabama. Georgia did for a while and then just stopped at the second half.
I think part of that probably was because of what Lane Kiffin knew about that offense as well. You know, I think probably a little bit of that had to come into that. But as we can see, you know, Alabama, when they got it together, they got it together. I don't know. I mean, because it did look like it did look early on like Alabama's defense was not the defenses of old. But when they got it together, they got it together. And, you know, they were tested. I think, you know what, another thing, John? I don't think people want to give Mac Jones, or I was supposed to say who, but he didn't do it. Never mind. Yeah, somebody got to say who, man. Forget it. Okay. Anyway, y'all, as many times we do this, it's amazing to me how you guys know.
Right, wait, I'll say Mac
it's
Jones.
It's too late. It's too late, John. It's too late. You blew it. You blew the moment. You blew the moment. But anyway, like I was trying to say.
I was waiting for you to finish your thought. I was like,
no, because okay, you're supposed to say, when I say Mac Jones, you're supposed to say who?
Well, I thought the who was you.
No. That's okay. Supposed to be you or Orin, one of y'all, but y'all blew it. But anyway, the point that I was trying to make was this. Mac Jones is better than what people give him credit for. I honestly believe that. He's a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is pretty good quarterback. I mean, because you look around and you say, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a special quarterback on Sundays. Justin Fields is going to be a special quarterback on Sundays. Mac Jones can play on Sunday. You know, I mean, again, I mean, he might be a guy that can make it at the next level. I agree.
I think he's going to get a look. I definitely think he's going to get a look, John.
Will he be a special quarterback? I think he can play at the next level. Yeah, absolutely.
But you don't think he can be special? You don't think he can be special, John?
I don't know. It may just depend, Hugh, on the team that he gets on. You know,
yeah. I mean there's that. There's always that.
He gets to the right team in the right organization, and he turns into the next, you know, the Nucci's first, and then Mac Jones is second.
Yeah, he'd be like the next Nucci. He gonna be like the, I don't even know the man's first name. I forgot just that quick. Ben. Nucci. He gonna be the best. The new Nucci.
The new Nucci. We get down to the playoff here. Clemson against Ohio State is a toss up game. Alabama against Ohio State, a toss up game. Alabama against Clemson, a toss up game. And Georgia should be in that discussion. This was good because Notre Dame's coming into town this week, right? They're going to be playing Georgia Tech, and we'll find out in 2 weeks when Notre Dame plays Clemson. A little bit more about the Irish, but the jury's still out on Notre Dame. We don't know, Hugh. I mean, they got to prove it to us, right?
I think so. I think Notre Dame. I'm not sold on Notre Dame. We've been down this road with Notre Dame.
Yeah,
before,
I know.
John.
I get it. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Michigan looked awfully good. Joe Milton, their quarterback, looked really good. And maybe this is Michigan's year, but they're going to have to prove it beyond just the Minnesota game. A Pac-12 team. Here's a funny thing. You got one team out west. Way out west. BYU is, what are they, 6-0? And by the time the Pac-12 starts, BYU could be 8-0, and the Pac-12 doesn't even have a win. Nobody. I mean, and BYU would be already 8-0. So I don't know who the best team out of the west is when you're talking about one team being 8-0 before Oregon even plays a game. And so, as far as that fourth team into the playoff, I still think Georgia should get in and can get in. I think if Florida wins the game, I think Florida can get in. So I still think that it's highly likely, notwithstanding Notre Dame, Hugh, that the Big 12 will not get a team in. I know Oklahoma State's there, that the AAC with Cincinnati probably not going to get a team in. BYU probably won't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the fourth team in is probably going to be, the Georgia or Florida, should one of those two teams manage to get to the SEC title game, even if they lose the SEC title game, so long as they lose it close, even with two losses. Because I think a two-loss SEC East champion that might lose to Alabama in a close game here in Atlanta would get the nod over an unbeaten Cincinnati team, but I could be wrong.
I'd agree with that. I'm with you on that, Joffrey.
All right, top of the hour, we're going to play a little rapid fire coming up here. I got a lot of questions. Most of them are Falcons questions, some fun questions too, and we'll do that. In the next couple of hours of the program are going to be pretty interesting to talk about. We'll be going to be discussing, you know, who's real in the NFL. Mo Adams is going to be on the program. We'll also talk to Harry Douglas in the next 2 hours, get his thoughts on the Falcons ahead of the Thursday night game against Carolina. It's all ahead on a very busy morning show right here on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and worldwide at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.